Hey everybody, welcome back to a special episode of Off-Centered Outdoors. You may notice we're visiting you on another day than normal, but there's a special reason for that, I suppose. And it's not always the happiest of reasons, but here we are nonetheless. How you doing, Chuck?
Good. I'm here with Matt as usual, and as me, I'm now your officially sad, no shoes wearing animal stuff and midget moron from Ojai.
Yes, sir.
And you want to tell him?
Go ahead.
Well, from a lot of you know, but most of you don't know, if you haven't heard by now, that we lost young Travis Frazier suddenly and tragically.
Yeah, quite the shock to everybody.
Yeah, he leaves behind a two-year-old little Bowman and his wife. And we talk about him on this show, and you might have seen him. And, you know, it's funny, I was looking at the, remember the user-friendly taxidermy? People probably don't even know it was him. And
yeah.
Started that with me, Rudy, him, and Sunny Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't even know if we're on it, go on it anymore.
I think, but I might be the only one that's
still looking
it.
At it. Yeah, but when I got the call, remember I was telling you,
mm-hmm.
I got the call from his sister and she left a message because whenever it came in, and then I listened to the message and she was pretty broke up. And
yeah,
my first thought was that we lost money. You know, that made sense to me.
Yeah.
Right. Cause he's 70 and, you know, past his expiration date, like he likes mm-hmm. to say. I called her back, and boy, I couldn't even.
Yeah. Know,
you know?
Yeah, it's quite the surprise.
Right, and then we just had Rudy on a couple of episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about, well, Rudy actually told him that he volunteered him for the World Show on that episode,
yeah.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had said, okay, well, I'm going to sculpt this one piece. I'm going to sculpt this mountain lion that Calla shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll take that. So, and we were all looking forward to getting the band back together at the World Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was just he was just starting out. You guys that use research, you see his mannequins in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, sculpted by Travis Frazier, and he was just really starting out.
Yeah.
And Rudy will be I think Rudy landed in Houston already.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, Rudy from Australia, he's flying out to volunteer 2 weeks to, if you own a shop or a studio, you know the mess that, or jackpot, as we like to call it.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah, there's certain situations in the shop that only a fellow like-minded crazy taxidermist can handle.
Right, and then like Rudy said, Travis kept most of that stuff in his head.
Yeah, as we do.
As we do, and in fact, Rudy looked, I didn't even know this, because see, I'm like their uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are all the same age, so you're like, you know, the dumb nephews. I say dumb in a kind, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I gotcha.
Endearing a sense, because mm-hmm. you guys are all amazing. But he had a secret storage area they called Area 51. Him and Rudy.
Yeah.
And luckily, Rudy's been to Area 51 because no one knew that he even had it. But Rudy,
yeah.
You know. And then I guess when Rudy lands, he's going to get the lay of the land. And mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go out there for four days or 3 days at least and help him.
Yeah.
Get some stuff. They got stuff needs turned, salted, and, you know, given back. And then all kinds of everything needs to, antlers need to go with capes, guys need to get called and returned or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? For hell, I might come back with a trailer load of work. Who knows?
You just never know.
You know, you don't know. And so we talk about Joe Kish a lot,
mm-hmm.
right, on this program.
Yeah.
And Joe Kish was like, Joe and Travis had this, you know, weird relationship.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in a good way.
Yeah.
They were really, Travis, from when he grew up, you mm-hmm. know, in Texas and all of that, you know, through all that, Joe and they worked on Ella. Well, I stayed at Joe's house in Texas. And
yeah.
I started adding up all the stuff I'd done with that kid since he was like 14.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, you know. Between here, there, and or you know,
mm-hmm.
and everywhere, and I remember specifically one time, I come in the Mike's shop, and he was working on his first thing he sculpted.
Yeah,
was a change out mouflon head, because Mike had some mouflons in spray.
Yeah,
now I hope I get this story right, but allegedly they might have escaped and had a breeding population, you know?
Yeah.
And Travis, you know, nothing got by that kid that lived if it was legal to shoot it, you know?
Yeah.
And he shot this monster, geez, you know, ram. And I walk in and I see this head and I'm just like, you're a punk, man, you know that? Jesus, that, you know, well, what do you think? I think you're a punk, man.
Yeah.
What do I think? You did that, right? All by your, yeah, uh-huh. I know. Because his mom is an artist in her own right.
Yeah.
You know, flat artist or whatever you mm-hmm. call her, plus does all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
Pastels, amazing. And then his dad, of course, is his dad, you know?
Yeah.
So he's got the talent from both ends, and mm-hmm. then here I am working. Just like, I don't know. Why am I on this team?
Yeah.
Remember, I famously had the straight line monkey and all that with the... You give me the tool and it's all going, you know, the uh-huh. wrong way. And God, we worked on that whole Jonas series together.
Yeah.
We had to cover buffaloes with... A whole buffalo with the clay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then the famous, what's that giant ass bull?
Oh,
in there.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Gowrox.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was a adventure.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna see if I could do this. Someone told Matt the incorrect name. Joe Kish had wrote a poem about Travis when he was a kid, and I thought it was called The Coyote Boy, but it wasn't. It's called What's it called? The Coyote Man?
The Ballad of
the Ballad of the Coyote Man. Yep. So we're looking through our important, like we gleaned our breakthrough collection down to about the important 8 or 10 issues, we call it.
Yeah.
You know, that have stuff in it that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And then we couldn't find it. And then the more we couldn't find it, the more we couldn't find it.
Yeah, the harder you look for things when you're in a frantic state, you have a tendency to... I don't know, overlook things, or I don't know. There's about 3 of the important books missing, so I don't know where the hell they landed at. But
I don't know. But anyway, so I'm going to try and do the best I can and redistribute The Ballad of the Coyote Man by Joseph Michael Kish. And it says here, they live in lots of little towns. They're common in the West. But Travis was known as the Coyote Man, because he was the best. Travis was a coyote man. He shoots them coyotes where he can. He shoots them high, he shoots them low, he shoots them where the sun don't show. He pops up, pops them near, he pops them far, he pops them from the truck or car. He shoots them down, he shoots them dirty, he shoots them with a .630. It's all over once he's fired. And if they run, they just die tired. One day he went off to scout to find where them coyotes were hanging out. He chanced upon a magnificent critter, the kind that make your heart beat flitter. He thought, if I imitate a coyote's cry, I might bring him in. It's worth a try. So he aimed his nose up towards the moon And in Kiyotaki he started to croon. Yip, yip, yoy! He let her rip. As the song, dog song poured from his lips, the coyote froze and looked around. It curled his lips and made a frown. And when the coyote had ran, Travis sang his song again. He walked like a coyote, wailed like a coyote from his throat with nary a discordant note. I hope that's right. Oh, wait, how do I get to the next one? Okay, here we go. Okay, you know what? I got quadrifocals and I can't even. And when our poor boy's throat was spent, he hadn't a clue what his song had meant. But the coyote knew, and his ire was up. He was going to teach this upstart pup a thing or two about coyote society as he trotted on kind of nice and quietly. Travis stayed low, no need to be hasty, as he steadied himself and thumbed the safety. The coyote steady and stated towards the very spot where the imposter laid. The coyote was made mad, but Travis couldn't know he had told the big ass dog just where to go. He only intended to call him in, but this coyote call made such a din that every coyote for miles around was making a beeline for that sound. They sure intended to rue his day that he had insulted their kind way. Still oblivious to the fix that the fix was in, Travis stayed cool as the coyotes came in. One by one, two by two, the coyotes were coming to guess who. But our boy didn't fidget or wink. He was the coyote man who didn't blink. As the lone wolf came in, blood in the eye, to butt kick some ass pretty as pie. He twitched not a hair as the rifle rocked steady to make the head shout old Travis was ready. And if at my story you're tempted to scoff, was right about there that he touched her off. And that's how the legend of Travis began. How he picked up the moniker Coyote Man. He drug himself home about 3 days later, looking like he'd passed through a coyote tornado. He was dirty and tired, a man back from the dead. But make no mistake, his bullet had sped where he wanted it to. I swear this is true. And somewhere in dog heaven, way up in the sky, there's a mad coyote ghost that has a third eye. God, I'm sorry, Joe, if I butchered that. But and even Calla put on her post that the coyotes are resting happy tonight.
Yeah.
That kid could smell out a coyote, I'm telling you. It is amazing.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, and do you want to read the other little tribute, or you want to talk some more?
No, we can talk some more, and then we'll read the other one.
Yeah. And I don't know. I was thinking too back a little bit. You know, there's that picture of him standing on that elephant. I was supposed to fly back, allegedly, to. And the boss said to help him. And I never did that, but I never pushed it hard, and now it's something I'll never be able to fix.
Yeah.
You know, but I used to drive him crazy when we worked there, because they had this thread, like we got a regular, you know, cable that scares people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we got the single, you know, single thin thread.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get the single thread. They get these spools from the upholsters down in Mexico, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And it was three twisted, right?
Ah,
three threads. So every day you'd have to like untwist your threads.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be standing at my station and I'd go and I'd start getting down about like 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd start going the other way because it's, I'm just broken.
Yeah.
No, there's no hope. And then I'd yell, Travis, what? Fix this. Okay. You come over and, you know.
Yeah.
And then so that lasted about like 3 days. And then one day I went in there and there was like, on this hook, there's like 100, like 10 feet long things of thread.
That's one way to get you handled, I guess.
Yeah. And then, God, what, Jesus is so funny. There's this guy in our, we got to work in this substation of B&B down in Shiro. And then it was like 2 blocks from Joe's house. And then behind Joe's house was the elephant shed, they called it. They built a special building just for elephants, and it had like a, you climb up, and it had a scaffolding. You could walk 360 around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bitchin', you know? And so in the substation, they had this guy named Thomas who somehow took exactly 8 hours to mount a whitetail, and he do one a day. And at the big B&B, then they had like 8 guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, but Thomas had to be. And then him and Thomas were like oil and vinegar, you know?
Yeah.
And then one day I remember, they were always kind of making deals, you know, and I'll do this and you'll do that and whatever, right? And Travis was going to tan something for, I don't know. And then they got in this fight one day. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And they're going, yeah, will you do my thing? No. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to, I'll give him back. Okay, give him back right now. All right. And then all of a sudden they get up and they both punch out. And they go like, where are you guys going? And they just took off. And I'm in the thing by myself, you know, with this big mess. And it was just hilarious. I don't know. You know, and then they came back and I thought they were going to go to blows.
Yeah.
But Travis was so much like his dad. In so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
He was a heart like you can't believe.
Yeah.
He was just such a solid, good person. And it's so hard to do this because I'm trying to explain to people who don't know this kid and don't know the family.
Yeah.
And the importance to taxidermy that they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, tied to Kish and Louis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even the way he talked just like his dad.
Yeah.
Just like his dad, you know. And I almost regret giving him a hard time about the bear thing because we did this bear for a close friend of mine who had his own tragedy a year ago and lost his wife, and she was only 35. And he did that last big bear. He did that giant sucker, man. And then we had one that was actually that giant sucker because I told him if he ever, yeah, will you do it if I get, you'll do it, right? Yeah, I'll do it. But hey, he ain't never going to get.
Yeah.
So, hey, I got my giant 580-pound, whatever the hell it weighed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted it front high.
Yeah.
And then Travis had that smaller front high. And then I called him up and got some advice. I said, hey, is that the same mainframe as the other one?
Yeah.
Just had a fat. Yeah. And that way, you know, I mean, that kind of help is invaluable.
Oh, for sure.
And then I started saying, why didn't you just make it, drop it on all fours, you know? And he goes, oh, blah, blah, blah. Then he did it.
Yeah.
You know, and then he didn't tell me.
Uh-huh.
And then it turns out I could have got one, and then I had to do that. That, you know, I added that 200 pounds. I made Richard help me.
Yeah.
That's how you get punished around here. If you're getting a favor done, you become slave labor.
Absolutely.
But, and we did it with trash bags, and everything came out perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last time I talked to him, I was chewing his ass out for that, and like I said, I almost feel bad. But, you know.
Yeah.
And then Rudy God, when I told Rudy, he couldn't talk. And then finally, when a day later or so, he said he just talked to Travis the day before.
Yeah.
And they had made all these, really solidified all the plans for the World Show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking, and he said that he had been sending him pictures, like the last picture, the day, a couple of days before he passed, covered in sawdust.
Yeah.
Because he just moved to a new house, and he just was working on his new shop, which makes it all just even sadder.
Yeah.
And there's trailers with stuff in it, and it, they were, he was in transition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really grateful for our, you know, our extended taxidermy family that we can, you know, do something for him. But he touched so many people in his young life. And remember I said just the other day, I said, when those two come back, which one's going to get Scarlett's bedroom?
Yeah.
The pink room, you know? Travis will probably have to get the pink room because Rudy's too damn big to put in her bed.
Yeah.
And then now that's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure like with everybody else, he'll always be around when you need him to be. It kind of, I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but I always kind of feel that way when somebody that's not around anymore, when you do need them, they're there whether you know it or not.
So, because you said that, I'm going to say this. I found myself talking to him the other day when I was working on something, and I could just hear him telling me, you know, what are you doing?
You know, are you sure that wasn't me?
Well, no, you weren't here. Well, could be. I don't know, because I'm used to that, too. But and then pass me the 50 cals.
Yeah.
Or I would say, pass me the 50 cals. Those S-268Bs or whatever for research. Call them the 50 cals, you know. And on. God, remember he taught us that trick, too, with the, because I forgot, with the ear openers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, to open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I forgot that. You know?
Uh-huh.
And, but everything he touched, it was just... Some people are just born with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
You're just born. I wish I could get the family on to tell more, you know, stories, but we have that other tribute.
Yeah. You know? I'll read that here in just a second.
And then, but yeah, he even touched, like I said, everybody in the... They moved to Spray. Mike was saying, I think the lady said five, but maybe he said three or four. And they were lucky enough to grow up in a town where everybody, how did Mike say it? Everybody had eyeballs on everybody's kids.
Yeah.
When they were running around free range.
Mm-hmm. That's how it should be.
Yeah. And, yeah, it is how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
How it used to be. That's why I moved to Ojai.
Yeah.
When my kids were little.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it looked like a little herd of turtles.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Start on over on, well, now this street, because I live one over, two over. And then they'd go down Mesa, and then others would funnel in. And then our street, they'd stop from the top and then come by it, because ours was at the bottom.
Yeah.
To the Mesa street that dead-ended and went to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd come down past our house and pick up our three, and then, you know.
Yeah.
And there, man, there must have been like 30 of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know? I grew up in a very similar situation. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. We were blessed. And that was the best, like I like to say over and over, not to make this about me, but that was the only drunk decision that didn't end up bad that made. Because if I thought it through, it's almost like if you think through doing our business, like you made a business plan, you wouldn't do it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Everybody gets one good decision when they're half tuned in, I suppose.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was lucky. Lucky, lucky, lucky. All that stuff he was working on, that bobcat fighting the javelina.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a custom, you remember a hoop or somebody said, hey, I saw this bobcat fighting. Go, dang you, Travis Frazier. And he didn't, you know, he did so much cool stuff.
Yeah.
So much amazing stuff. And he'd buy, oh, yeah, this elk came in with one side, so I just reversed it and made a whole new other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy for you to say. If I reversed it, it'd be half right, half left.
Yeah.
You know, on the yeah. same, you know. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, why don't you read that other
thing? Let me restart the camera here, and we will do that.
Okay. This one doesn't have to be, you know. So, anyway, so now we're going to read this post that this kind of sizes it up. Man, why don't you read, because you could probably read better.
We're going to do our best. Hang on, I just lost the page I was on.
Okay.
Give me just a second here. As we do, these phones aren't always as smart as we would like them to be.
Yeah, well, between my blindness and my scratch screen and not being able to enunciate.
Yeah.
I barely got through my poem.
All right, well, this was a Facebook post made a few days ago by Linda Donnelly. It says, in these small communities, families share and help raise each other's kids. Travis Frazier was one of the boys that spent a lot of time at our home and who I carried about in the bus on countless sports trips and field trips and the route. Here are some memories. Travis showed up in Spray when he was about 5 years old. He was a cute little lad with dark brown eyes and an impish grin that won your heart and warned you that he was up to no good at the same time.
Absolutely.
He had 4 older sisters and 1 older brother and was... Sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's all right, buddy.
No, I clicked the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Let's see. And he was adored by all of them. He started coming to our house to play with my 2 youngest boys when he was about 8 years old. When they got into middle school age, they were always getting into something. When Travis was visiting, I could not imagine all of the creative kinds of trouble he would get into. I knew boys love knives and fire, so when I left to go to work at Service Creek, I would tell them, no playing with knives or fire. Okay, they would say. We lived in an old ghost town with several old buildings. When I got home, they started telling me about how they were playing hide-and-seek and going in the upstairs of the largest rambling old building and out of the window and running around on the roof. Sorry, phone call.
Running around on the roof.
Yeah, so I had to say no knives, no fires, and no running around on roofs. Okay, they would say. The next time, when I got back, they would tell me how they built a raft out of old boards and were out on the pond, but it started to sink, and there was mud up to their knees by the time they got out. So I had to say, no knives, no fire, no running around on roofs, and stay out of the water. Okay, they would say. The next time I came home, they said, hey, we went rattlesnake hunting, and we caught one. It's in a bucket on the porch, and we weren't sure what to do with it. No, thank you. So I would have to say, yeah, no knives, snake, yeah. No fire, no running around on roofs, and stay out of the water, and no snake hunting. And so it went. I never knew what to expect. Travis was active all day long, and in my philosophy was out to let, and my philosophy was out was to let them run until they dropped, and he would. About 2 seconds after his head hit the pillow, he would be sound asleep. Travis was always very active, and during some of our long bus rides, he would get ants in his pants and have to stand up, change seats, open windows, crawl under seats, or who knows what else. On one particularly long field trip to Vancouver, Canada, he had a real hard time staying in his seat. I would look in the passenger view mirror, and there he would be, standing up, getting ready to throw something or some other mischief. It's a safety issue on school buses that people stay in their seats. The bus is built to contain and protect you in sudden stopping situation, but it doesn't work if you're standing in the aisle. Instead of yelling at Travis, I would give the bus a little swerve. Some of the chaperones didn't know what was happening, but Mr. Starr did. and he knew Travis. He didn't even have to look. And he would yell, Travis, get in your seat. I think on that trip, Mr. Starr eventually went to the back of the bus and sat by Travis, much to Travis's annoyance. In high school, Travis was able to channel a lot of his energy into sports.
He was fast, agile, and had great hand-eye coordination. I don't think I ever saw his dad, Mike, smile so much as when our boys won the district championship in Baker City. He was hugging a happy, sweat-soaked Travis and grinning to the thousands in the crowd. A most unlike Mike moment, but that is strong in my memory. Travis was very artistic and creative, something he inherited from both of his parents. I don't know that there was anything he couldn't accomplish if he put his mind to it. He told me one time that he would make me a cup holder for the front of the bus, as he had noticed there wasn't a place for me to put a cup. He never did get around to it before he graduated. I would tease him about it from time to time, and he said he was still going to do it. I would give anything to be able to tease him one more time. I'll never forget him and hold you all dear to my heart who have passed too early from this world. Wow.
Yeah, he had that look, you know?
Yeah.
And, you look at some of the photos that Calla posted.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one. Now I'll tell it all. I'll mix up the pictures. I don't know if he's holding Bowman or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking up like this, and it's that little.
Yeah.
That's that look, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell.
Yeah, for sure. You could tell. Unfortunately, I never got to meet him in person, but on the phone and seeing pictures, that you can definitely tell that there was something about him that he was a special individual.
He really was, and then we were just looking forward to you getting to know him. And
yeah.
And, I mean, you did get to take a trip to the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortress of Solitude, at least, before that all changed.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, last time Travis was out here was right when I started hanging out.
And it was just so many people.
Yeah.
It just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Matt would come every other day to work with Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rudy was out here a lot. I think Travis was only here like 4 days.
Yeah, he was only here for a few days.
We only had enough time, and he was here on a secret mission from his dad.
Yeah.
To teach Shay, and they sculpted that that cat together.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was here on a specific mission. And then Rudy said he found some candid photos of Travis like working with Shay. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. And then we went to the this is sort of funny, but I'm gonna tell it anyway. Because one of them had to be their thing.
Yeah.
So as Mike makes suggestions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one, and I, you know, on our morning coffee call, he says, you know, it'd be a shame to be so close to the tar pits, right?
Yeah.
And not go. I go, well, this is where I live. And so, yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So we took a day off and went to a field trip to the tar pits. And then in the tar pits, they got this wall of dire wolf skulls, right?
Yeah.
And so I counted them all, and I was like, I go, wow. He goes, yeah, there's 405. I go, yeah, did you count them? He says, no, it says it right there. Sorry, it was... And then Rudy... You go anywhere with Rudy, right? He's like a, he's just like, there's eucalyptus leaves, there's this and that. So he'll take and pick the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll smell the leaf, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he'll grind it up, and then he'll taste it.
Yeah.
And I'll go, God damn, it's lucky that ain't arsenic or something. You know what I mean? And Travis, Mike said that rattlesnake thing was probably his fault.
Yeah.
Because he taught all his kids to catch rattlesnakes by the time they were like four or something.
Wow.
You know? And then Rudy was saying too, like, he was, last time he was there working in Oklahoma, I don't know, Travis went out to whatever.
Yeah.
He comes back with this snake, you know? Hey, check this out, Rudy. And it's like some rats, you know, snake. But then Rudy said he even learned something. He said, because I didn't know, like, your snakes all have round eyes because they're non-venomous. You know, irises, like, instead of slit irises. And, I mean, Rudy's, them two could be dangerous snake catching.
Yeah, no doubt. They can have it, too.
I know, you're reading that with the rattlesnake. And the reason I was, like, kind of smiling is You don't know Matt. Matt has this thing about snakes.
Yeah, no, that ain't that. No, I'll pass. You can have all my share.
Yeah, all of them. And I think I had a rattlesnake in here one time, and you were like, gee, whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't bad until you turn around and you're surprised by it.
Yeah, I know, and I had no idea. You know,
and it's all good.
What about the oh, yeah, I can't. Speaking of that, you know, we didn't. Obviously, we didn't write nothing down to say, but that's okay. So, one trip to Mike's, Tricia had a trailer that she was staying in, and somehow it got nicknamed the Hotel California. But Travis was staying in there. Mike said, why don't you stay in the bigger bed there? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I go in there to stay, and I'm looking around, and then I notice that there's some Jippo aquarium thing.
Yeah.
And it's got some handmade rickety wooden lid, you know, that's like half up, and I'm noticing inside the thing is like three rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
And Travis comes in, and I go, hey, Travis. Oh, yeah. I go, can I get out of there? He goes, yeah. Yeah, sure, you know, like, what's the big deal? I go, that's the big deal is I ain't staying in here.
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
Absolutely.
Unless you can guarantee me them things, God, but don't worry about it, man.
You can find me in my truck.
Yeah, I know. I go, I'll just catch him or something. I go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it gets out and finds my sleeping bag or whatever, because that would be my luck,
You
right?
see a giant snake with a chuck leg hanging out of it.
Exactly, you know, and... oh, I'll catch it. Don't worry about it. It's not, yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then apparently he gave somebody a terrarium with a rattlesnake in it for a gift or something.
Yeah.
That was Travis, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what? What?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
You know? No, actually, everybody doesn't.
No.
And, yeah. God, I just, you know. Anyone, Odad, you know, they had that wild herd of Odads out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he sculpted that one, you know?
Yeah.
And they would go, oh, we're going to go get Odad. They get three.
Yeah.
Big old, you know, big old rams.
Uh-huh.
That was just Travis, man. I don't know. There was nothing. But the coyote thing is really true, man. He could just smell them out, man.
That's cool.
And they ran scared. And then, so we finally got a hold of Joe, and it turned out that there's something wrong with his phone.
Ah.
You know? So he was going to follow Tricia out to the deal this weekend.
Oh, good.
And but since his phone started working, did we tell that story about him getting arrested?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So it turns out he's got a court date on Monday, next Monday, so he can't go. So luckily, he fixed his phone, and then he got a reminder he has to be in court.
Well, there's good timing there, I suppose.
Yeah, but I'll finally be able to get a hold of him. And
yeah.
I don't know how Joe must be a mess, too.
I can only imagine.
You know, and McLean, I talked to McLean the other day. He said he had to just go look at his chickens and drink beer.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely.
And McLean knew him since he was born.
Yeah.
You know? And, again, like Joe always says, and we say every time, we don't know whose shoulders we stand on.
Absolutely.
And we're just, we started doing this mission to get everybody's story down that we possibly can. And this is a story we didn't want to have to tell.
Yeah, not like this anyways.
Not like this, and he needs a story told too.
Absolutely.
You know? And eventually, maybe we can do it better and have, you know, when his sisters are able to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the main, and another reason for this one is to, they started a GoFundMe page, and can you...
I'll put a link to it in the video. I'll put one in the description
of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, we're not normally like this, but if there's any way you could
I can pull it up,
find it in your heart to, $5, any bucks, you know?
Yeah.
Cause they were, like any other young couple, you know, they were young and starting out and a new baby, and they got, you know,
yeah,
they got stuff to handle, and I'd sure appreciate it.
Yeah, the address for the GoFundMe is gofundme.me/351D6115. And once again, I'll put that down in the description down below here, or in the description on the audio version of this. So yeah, if you feel it in your heart that you're feeling generous, like to help out a family that could definitely use it, the donations would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and if you're in the industry, just think of what they gave to the industry.
Absolutely.
And at sometimes great sacrifice to their own. You know, because you have to buy your own armatures. They're not free.
Yeah.
You have to pay for your own molds and all that, you know. And, you know, they gave freely. Give, if you can give a little. That's my philosophy. That's why we give away all our information.
Absolutely.
Mike gave it to us for nothing. You know, and taught us to sculpt. You know, now you're going to have to put your big boy pants on, I guess, like Mike said, you know.
Yeah.
And, get it done.
It's all right. I think I can handle it. A little more practice and we'll be...
Yeah, it says it takes like anything else, like 100.
Yeah.
You have to make 100 molds before you get good at it.
Yeah.
And then you do, you make every mistake.
Oh, well, yeah.
No catalyst in the Bondo. No, no whatever. The one where you forget.
No splash coat.
Splash coat, yeah. What was the other one? No, no shellac or something. Yeah. Anything you can think of, you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
You know? That's why Joe would always be over me. Did you get it? Did you? Yeah, Joe, I got it, man. Are you sure? Yeah, Joe. I had to take one thing off one time to prove it.
Yeah.
Then I had to put the dam back on, and, you know? Right?
Yep.
You know? That's too bad we don't know how to put pictures, because you could put some pictures of the kid up.
I'll put them in the video.
Oh, great. Good job.
You just don't worry about that part. I got that part handled. Your job is just sit there and talk and act pretty.
Well, I failed at the last one. But
you're struggling with the first one.
Yeah, talk even. Well, you know, it's like feelings suck.
No, absolutely.
Okay? You know, and you know, we all got enough, as you know, what's going on. And we already got a plate full, and then you get more heaped on.
Yep.
You know, and it's like Mike says, I got to, you know, if you don't think I'm grieving, then screw you.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
Because, but you have to, you just have to push through and keep the fort to get, you know what I mean? Because if you lose it, you know, like you're the head of your family.
Yeah.
You can't lose it.
No, it's absolutely. It's a rule, man. Absolutely.
Because then they're, you know. That's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, we're about ready to wrap this thing up, unfortunately, yeah. Chucky, but...
No, that's fine. I just...
I want everybody... Absolutely. I want everybody to remember that we don't know when it's going to be our time. We don't have much say in that, unfortunately. Even we can do everything possible to make sure we live forever, but when it's our time, it's our time. So make sure you hug your family. Hug those close to you. Tell them what they mean to you. Feelings are bad, according to Chuck, but sometimes we got to get them out.
That's it. And then all of us have expectations of waking up in the morning, you know, because that's just human nature.
And, absolutely. And
I already was thinking this, even at my age. I go, you know, there's a couple other things I really want to do. Some stuff I want to accomplish in this, too, you know.
Yeah.
And, there's only today.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to do my best to, you know, to keep my family, let them know that I love them. Even though that's like mushy. You know?
Well, yeah. sometimes the ones that are freaked out the most by the mush are the ones that need it the most.
Yeah, and I always tell Rudy, man, he says, love you, bro. I say, yeah, love you. No homo.
Yeah.
You
know?
All right, Matt. Well, again.
All right. Well, let's... I think we'd be respectful to end this with a moment of silence, and then we'll sign off.
Yeah. And Father, we just ask to keep the Travis family, the Frayers, in your arms, and comfort them through this hard time that they're having. And we're just so grateful for them, and to get the privilege to know Travis. And we pray these things in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, thanks for watching this somber episode. Be sure to follow us everywhere you get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. And check us out on social media at Butchershop Taxidermy, at Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy. And
thank you guys in advance for your support.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
Be sure to check out that GoFundMe down there.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop some pictures right here at the end. And we'll
see you next time.
Absolutely.
On an upbeat.
Hopefully.
Hopefully upbeat episode of Off-Centered Outdoors.
Have a good one, everybody.
Till next time.